Hey, welcome to Victory Life Church. If we haven't already met yet, my name is Pastor Craig, and along with my wife, Pastor Leanne, and I have to mention my wife today. Now, I want to mention my wife today, because on this day, 22 years ago, we decided that it would be good to be in covenant together, and we stepped into marriage. So, and I wouldn't be the man that I am today without my wife. And you might go and take offense at that because you don't, might not like the man I am. So you can take it out with Leanne. All righty. Well, it's just a wonderful moment as we continue this discussion around the chemistry of a Christian. What makes up, how do I become all that hunger, that thirst is in me? How do I begin to express it? And so I'm excited. It's a special day all around. And before I jump into the message, I just wanted to say that wasn't it awesome to see some of the family members and some new folk on stage this morning? It's just awesome to have that. And the balance of the Grotery family are in the back. They're running cameras and doing all that kind of stuff. So they're getting involved. And we just want to welcome the Grotery family into our churches a couple more weeks, more months, and they will be amongst us and with us, and we can't wait to see the power of God released into their family, into their families' lives, and just to embrace all that God has in this next phase. So we are really especially blessed to have that. So welcome. It's good to have you guys with us. How many of you know that everything that we have is a result of God's grace and His goodness? No, Pastor. I have worked hard all my life. What I have, I've done. It's a sentiment in the world that we can become the masters of our own destiny, the captains of our own fate. But at some point in time, what we do and how we try and grow our own lives and put things together fails. And then we get to realize that maybe our captaincy and our mastering of our own destiny and our own fate isn't what it was cut out to be. And on the rocks of shipwreck, and on the rocks of despair, we realize that there's a grace and a goodness that goes far beyond our own strength. And if you're here today because you're on the rocks, you're in the right message. And if you've already been through your rocky moment where you've realized that God's grace and goodness is all you need, well, that means you're already on the shore and you're in the right place because your destiny is now to help those who are still washing up from their shipwreck. There's something special about the wonder of God's light. There's something really unique about when we finally get it, how much brighter His light is in our world than our light. You know, in stage productions, we have different wattages of light. And you might not be feeling the power of the lights that we have up in the sky, but right now I am. Yeah? And you can take out your cell phone, little light, and shine it at me. In fact, let's do something fun for today. Can we bring up the house lights just for a moment? If you're into this kind of stuff, I watched it the other day at a concert we went to. People who were excited to be in a place were taking selfies about themselves. So I thought what we could do this morning is let's get excited about the light that we have in here, and let's take a selfie of yourself with your person that you're with and post that to your social media network and say, hey, I'm enjoying God's light this morning. Come on, let's do this. We talk about how do we reach this crazy world. Well, here's a way, is take out a photo, make a photo. You're happy to be here, right? If this was a rock concert of your famous rock artist, you'd be like taking pics and, hey, look where I am. We're in the presence of the Most High God. Take some photographs and get excited about the light that we're in the presence of and share that light with other people. You do it over the meal that you have at Chick-fil-A, but you don't seem to want to do it over the spiritual meal that we have here every Sunday. Come on, even if you just take a photograph of yourself and don't post it, it'll be a memory of the day that you realized that there's power in the presence of God. Right, I've seen enough faces this morning. We can shut those house lights down. Thanks. There we go. That's much better. Amen. You guys in the light pockets, I just speak to you guys. Those lights are strategically positioned for my camera eye. Did you know that? Everybody complains to me and said, like, there's little patches of light everywhere. That's so that it catches my eye so that I'm walking the room correctly. It's strategically placed. How cool is that? Intentionality, right? Anyway, the wonder of his light is important to us. Not only to receive in our moment of desperation, but also to give so that others can receive it in their moments of desperation. Because you see, as we've discussed, and we're going to bring up our famous table now, as we discussed and we culminated this, the light that we enjoy is the culmination of the manifest character of God and the revealed character of God. How many of you know that even if you don't believe in the light, God exists? It's like me picking up my iPad and going, I don't believe in gravity, and letting go. Are you crazy? Do you know how much this iPad is worth? I trust gravity. I don't have to walk around going, gravity exists, gravity exists, gravity exists. I can walk around and going, the world is flat. It's a flat earth. But that doesn't negate the fact that it's not. Your truth is not necessarily divine truth. We've made it divine truth. We think we can declare, and what we declare in our circumstance, that should be the divine truth. But it's not truth. It's your perception of truth. And as a result, the lights from the Lord are brighter than your cell phone little light that you could shine in my face. Your cell phone little light is your truth, your perception. But the real source of light is going to give me the brightest light, and that is the light of God. And you know what? He manifests who he is, whether you believe in him or not. And many Christians get caught in God is power, God is good, God is true, and they receive the manifestation of that light, but they never get the revelation through the Holy Spirit of that light. True light is both the combination of what you know about God and what you need to know about God. Thank you for that golf clap at the back. Someone's excited about my message today. And we've been having a look. For those of you who are seeing this table for the first time, you might go, man, that is a busy slide. Does this guy know how to design slides? Like, I've never seen, this is a busy slide. This is 90 seconds. I mean, 5 weeks of preaching. And when we look at that slide, it is everything that culminates about God all the time, all three, into every situation, every moment, every heartbeat of your life, that entire table is focused on. Isn't that cool? But when we look at it, we lose sight of that light, because John chapter 1 and verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We say that the light of the world is the manifest light of God and the revealed light of God. And in that moment, we get an understanding of passion, wonder, hope, light, life, forgiveness, and we get the empathy of grace. And in that convergence of the manifest word of God and the revealed word of God, we get an understanding of what that cross really means for us. And if we're living in a space where wonder is gone, you need to find your wonder in the cross of Jesus Christ, because that's pure wonder. If you're getting in that space where you'd rather be dead than living life, you need to go back to the only source of pure light, and that is Jesus. And you might be saying, it's not Jesus. And you got that southern tweezer lip approach to what Jesus is. You're probably thinking of religion and church and not the pure source of light, Jesus Christ. You've probably replaced a vision or an image of your heavenly father with one of your earthly father and mother. You have a distorted sense of light. And as a result, I want to tell you, if you're looking for any other light in any other source, I understand why you're grumpy. It's like rocking up at Todd's restaurant expecting this beautiful meal, and he brings you a large mac and fries. No. I mean, it's food, but is it really? It's light, but is it really? In John chapter 1 and verse 4 says, the only place you're going to get true light. Listen, unbelievers, and I'm going to say it to you as plainly as I can, your light hasn't been working for you, otherwise you wouldn't be here this morning. So can we maybe just suck up all the history and all the past and all the hurts and go, hang on, I'm just going to repeat that past, repeat those hurts if I don't get some true light. And just for a moment, I want you to believe just one verse in the Bible, only one. I'm not asking you to look at the rest of the 66 books of the Bible. I just need you to look at John 1 verse 4 and say, in Jesus is life, and the life is the light of what your situation, light of men. I just need you to believe that scripture this morning. That's it. You don't have to go home and read any other gospel books. You don't have to say a sinner's prayer. If you can just say that, hey, I don't have life. And because I don't have life, that scripture tells me where I can find life. And I'm going to give that light, because I've been walking in some darkness, a shot. Can you do that for me today? What's the alternative? Walking back out to the same situation with the same responses and the same deadbeat life and the same half-light glimmer every now and then when the Dallas Cowboys eventually do win. What? I read the news. I don't have to. I just have to look at Brother Jim's face when he walks in on a Monday morning, and I know what's going on. You see, Jesus is both the manifest and revealed expression of God's life at the cross. Jesus was the culmination of it all. If you cast your eye across these qualities, if you want any of those qualities to be richer in your life, the only way you're going to find it, the only way you're going to find that wonder, find that passion, the only way you're going to find that hope, find that light, and find that life is to admit that you need some empathy from the divine Father through grace and some forgiveness from sins, and that will complete your light source. And when we get to that point, all of a sudden God says in your life, let there be light. And there will be light. You see, God has this incredible ability, and the example of this is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. He has this incredible ability to make something out of nothing. How many of you sometimes wake up in the morning and say, well, I'm not much, I'm nothing, I'll never amount to anything? Oh, come on, put your hand up with me, even when this crazy South African has those thoughts daily. And God says, you know what? I see your darkness. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. Holy Spirit roaming across the darkness. I see your darkness through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. All these things, he's looking at your darkness. He's not looking at your darkness. Do you find any of judgment and condemnation on that list? No, no. The Holy Spirit is looking at your darkness from a space of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, mildness, and self-control. And he's saying, hey, I want to deal with you in that darkness with those qualities. And our heart yearns for those qualities, not the yearning for judgment and condemnation and depression and oppression. We don't yearn for that. We yearn for this. And so when the Holy Spirit tells you that there is a source where you can get this, just say yes, sir. Because your heart's yearning for it. Because you see, in that moment when the Holy Spirit identifies your darkness, he also identifies light. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, after the Holy Spirit has been checking out your darkness, he comes back to the Father, he comes back to the Word, Jesus, and he says, hey, we've got to do something about this darkness. And in that moment, God speaks for the first time in recorded scripture, and he says, into that situation, let there be light. Into your situation this morning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, the Holy Spirit's been checking you out. He knows exactly what you need, and that's why he brought you here today. Oh, but I've been with Jesus for a long time. You're probably living in some kind of religious darkness, because you've probably been doing the Jesus that you met back in 1962 the same way for these last, I don't know how many years. And so Jesus is wanting you to break out of that mold too. He wants you to step into a light where you see things deeply, where you look at news reports and you can see what's actually happening behind them. When you can look at situations and you can speak a prophetic word into a situation that breaks kids' lives wide open to Jesus. When you can sit down behind a couple that's broken and wanting to go through divorce, and you can speak a scripture in a simple, light way, and all of a sudden that marriage has been restored. When you can take a broken, bullied young person and you can pray with them and restore their self-confidence and their wonder at life. You see, that's what he's speaking light into your life for. Not just so that you can sunbathe in the glory. Yeah? Because lie in the sun too long and you'll get burned. You got to go and tell people about the wonderful beach you were just on and the wonderful holiday you've just been on. And then that inspires others who haven't had a real holiday in a long time to get up and go and be in the sun. Because you see, without the threat of darkness, without that threat, with that threat removed, without that threat of darkness, we easily are able to identify as supernatural beings. Can I say that again? Without the threat of darkness, it's much easier to identify with these things. Without darkness, without depression, without oppression, without shame, blame, and condemnation taken off our radar, we can look at these things and go, yeah, I can get kindness. But when you're grumpy and depressed, kindness doesn't come too easily. When you've been hurt repeatedly, loving your enemies doesn't come as a revealed or a manifest knee-jerk reaction in the moment. But you take away the darkness, let there be light, takes away the darkness. You take away the darkness of your life, and all of a sudden, these things make sense. And I can identify much more readily as a supernatural being if I can just take away the darkness. Now, how many of you know that we were designed to be supernatural beings, not trapped by the darkness, but walking in the wonder of his life, light? But here's why we have this darkness sown into us. Because you see, we try and identify with what our flesh says we need to identify with. And I'm using the word identify for a very specific reason. Watch the news. You know what I'm talking about. But we identify with a whole bunch of things in life. We condemn those who identify with things that we don't understand why they're identifying with them. But back home, we identify things with things that they don't understand why we identify with. We identify with all sorts of craziness. We identify with not knowing our Bibles well enough. From that to my marriage is a sham. We identify with maybe it was better for me to be single. Maybe I should never have had these kids. We identify with our children should be brought up by teachers, not ourselves. We identify with all sorts of craziness. And then we wonder why we're not experiencing the wonderful light. And so we need to understand that we've been designed to identify with being supernatural before the darkness. Remember, there was a time where human society did not know darkness because it was sorted out before they were even made. Read your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light resolve the darkness before God made man. Why? Because he did not want man to experience darkness. We've been designed to be supernatural first. Once you identify with this, then make any decision with what you want to identify with until the cows come home. Then feel free to identify with whatever you want to identify in the flesh. But as long as you get your identity as a supernatural being resolved first. Why? Because then you start making powerful decisions. Then you start making the decisions based on love. Then you start making decisions based on wisdom. Then you start making decisions based on justice. You start walking out his truth, his holiness. You realize your righteousness. Your righteousness gives you freedom. Your freedom gives you peace. Your peace gets responded to by the Holy Spirit. That peace gives you a sound mind. Your sound mind gives you perfect logic. That logic, which means you get creative. That creative gives you life and life in abundance. That life in light, life in abundance gives you wonder, passion, and hope. That passion, wonder, and hope gives you the light that Jesus has designed you to carry. And so that is why God says and understands that there was a time when the supernatural divine light was the order of the day. Darkness wasn't just evil, but it was a place where light did not shine yet. Your heart. God wasn't describing just the creation account. He was describing your salvation story in Genesis chapter 1 as well. Consuming darkness wants to make you feel so evil that you believe you are too far from God, your identity, across the top. This darkness wants to make you feel that you don't come from God. You come from some other evil source. He wants to confuse you. And that God would never want to know you, so he obliterates relationship. And darkness starts to creep in. We accept in this place that intimacy and relationship with the purest form of divine light is possible, and that because of our supernatural status in connection with the highest God, we have full authority in the realm in which we were created. Can I say that again? We accept that the intimacy and relationship, across the top, with the purest form of divine light is possible, and that because of our supernatural status, in connection with the highest God, all three, we have full authority in the realm in which we were created in its purest form. You better go back and read that in the notes. Pastor Jay, will you put that comment in the grow notes? Because that landed like, did you see that landing of that airplane on the back of that pickup truck the other day? It felt like that, what I just did in the room. Why? Why do we yearn for the darkness? Why do we default to the darkness? Well, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it tells us that we're made from dust. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Right the way through Scripture, Scripture uses the word dust to describe frailty. So on our own, in our human dust form, we are frail. Even when made at the hands of God, we are frail. He puts a pile of dust together, and it's nothing. It's frail. Trust me, one of the animals that he made before he put that pile of dust together could have come right through that and done its business on that dust, and it would have amounted to nothing. But he takes the frailty of dust, and he brings that frailty into the presence of divine light and influence. And when we do that, when we bring our frailty, darkness, into the presence of divine light and influence, there's a supernatural expression of identity, authority, and purpose that happens. Otherwise, we're just a pile of dust, frail, blown about this way and that way by the fads and the atmosphere of the world. When we bring darkness into the presence of light, there is an explosion that purifies, makes right, corrects, and gives life. But left in dust format, left in flesh format alone, we are frail. And so, Satan knows this. But what Satan also didn't account for is that he might be able to corrupt all of these things in darkness to get us away from our identity, our authority, and our purpose. But he could never terminate them. That's what makes God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three, all the time, the most powerful. When we say you are the most powerful God, you are telling him that his character will never be able to be terminated. And so Satan goes about to try and make us believe that these elements don't really exist. They're a farce. But even before the darkness reoccurred in the hearts and minds of man, the same darkness that the Holy Spirit put to bed when it said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, let there be light. Even before that, forgiveness was still part of God's character. Huh? You see, God didn't program Adam and Eve to behave in a certain way. But his character is so huge that no matter what they did, his character could accommodate them. There's no end to his light because there's no end to the characteristics of forgiveness. Even before sin, grace was part of the story. You were made, Adam and Eve were made because of grace. Oh, but grace is just when we do wrong, right? No. Grace is the fact that you don't need the character of God on the inside of you to breathe and in and sleep in the flesh, but God gives it to you anyway. And so there was a time when the light could not be seen anymore, and the frailty of life prevailed. And slowly but surely, we started questioning the divine. And the wonder of the light began to be eaten away by the rot of disobedience to the character of God. Long before laws were made, long before things were written on a tablet, there was a divine set of laws. They were called love, justice, wisdom, and power. They were called ever-present. They were called righteousness. That was the laws of the time, mastered and crafted on the inside of you as a law that you don't need to read about to know about. It's why Joseph ran in the opposite direction, even though he didn't have the Ten Commandments. He ran in the opposite direction when Potiphar's wife came onto him. He didn't have the Ten Commandments in his back pocket, but he knew that that was not wisdom. That was not love. That was not righteousness. That was not holiness. And he knew a law written on the inside of him would have been broken. And Satan does not want you to know that law. And so he starts to question, and so bring about a status where divine light is no longer recognized in humans' hearts and minds, and deauthorize the divine. He wanted to defund, deauthorize, and make defunct the power of the divine. And he's doing it again today. What happened in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 shows that in this process of eating away at the divine, God the Father then became redefined and questioned. Genesis 3 verse 1, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say? And so the blight begins to spread and God the Father gets questioned. Satan introduces the idea that love, justice, wisdom, and power are not the only parameters for pure light. And he starts to question everything that God had ever said. And so because he questioned everything that God was ever said, the word of God became twisted in the minds of Adam and Eve and you and I. When I say the words Adam and Eve, place your name there instead. Because what applied to them applies to us today too. And the word became twisted and the blight began to spread. Of course we may eat from the trees, the woman replied to him in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 2 to 3. Of course we may eat. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. All true so far. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. Whoa. Where did touch it come from? Because you see, touch is a flesh thing. The blight of disobedience had already began to creep across her mind. She was already imagining what it would be like to touch the fruit, let alone eat it. And so the word of God was made applicable to her flesh situation because she was thinking about touching it. The word of God spoke about touching it when it didn't. We start to look at things and start to perpetuate ideas that happen in Scripture just to make our thought process seem okay. But it's not actually found in the Word of God, is it? Well, I can do this because, you know, I'm in a terrible situation. No, God gives you the light for your terrible situation, not an excuse. But we twist the Scriptures to make them fit our excuse. And so Eve starts to speak about this life. Oh, I will die if I touch it. Remember, life came from the breath, the Spirit of God. So not only was God the Father questioned in the Scripture, not only was the Word of God questioned in the Scripture, but the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, was dismissed as well. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. You won't die. The devil has no capability to define what is death and what is life because he doesn't have the power, the revelation character of God on the inside of him like you do. Satan questioned this establishment of life as it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit. And when he had got that blanket lying over Adam and Eve's thinking and over your and my thinking, look at what happens. Light and darkness go to battle. Whereas Adam and Eve were light bearers, they now shifted their chemistry and they now had a new force to carry. Not only did they have the wonderful responsibility of bearing God's light, but now they had the added battle of bearing the darkness as well. It was called the decision between what was right and what was wrong. Whereas before it was only light, good. Now they had opened up their minds to this darkness that they had to carry as well. And in their minds began a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle that is still going on in our minds today. Is it God's word or is it mine? Will it be good for me? And this light and dark battle, you were never designed to carry the darkness. The Holy Spirit was designed to spot the darkness. The word of God was designed to quell the darkness. And God the Father was designed to speak the light that would take away that darkness. You are not designed to carry the darkness you carry. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7 says this. At that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame and nakedness. They suddenly felt the world's power of darkness on them. The flesh and the natural had been given room. But with God's character, and you can't see this, but I know this. I have layers behind this image that you're looking at right now. And I want to tell you that there's a layer that you can't see right now. That is the same layer we looked on at the beginning of the service. It's there. You just can't see it. It's always there. And because of that, there's always hope. Have a look at this. Even after they had veiled their minds and taken on this ungodly responsibility of carrying the darkness, then the cool of the evening in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 were blowing, and the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about the garden. They hid from the Lord God among the trees. And God says to Adam in his darkness, where are you, my boy? I need to help you. A little bit later when they've discussed the problem, and even when Adam admits to the Father that he's going to stay in this perpetual state of angst, of carrying light and trying to wrestle with darkness, even then God says to him in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he says, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He starts to promise Jesus. And he will defeat your offspring in the head, and he will defeat you in the heel. In other words, meh. And then, what happens next is diabolical. Watch the creep. Because you see, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, hope and grace get rejected. When God comes to Adam and Eve and says, hey, I want to be with you in your state of darkness to get the light restored, Adam says, no, thank you. And grace is rejected and hope is rejected. And the manifestation of God's character is no longer appreciated, because without grace, without understanding that God gives it to us, even if we're in a dark place, his wonder of his character cannot be appreciated. And Satan knew that if he could just get Adam to no longer see God's desire to step into his moment of darkness and shine that light in again, he'd have Adam. He could just get you to believe that your situation is too dark to go back to church, not good enough to fellowship with those people. I'm not even good enough to pray. If he could just get you believing that, then he's got you. Because he knows that you'll never appreciate the wonder of God's character without the revelation of grace. No manifestation of God's character meant no identity and no relationship. No relationship meant that the purpose of life was gone. Satan manipulated their purpose and their identity and robbed them of their blessing. And he's trying to do the same today. With purpose questioned and identity thwarted, their authority was extinguished. The character of God was never eradicated, but it was just distorted. In the mind of Adam and Eve, Satan distorted the primary elements of the Father. Power was questioned. The power of God was questioned. His love of mankind was made strange, made to look strange. The love of his word was brought into disrepute, and the reflection of his love through the Holy Spirit was covered over. Wisdom was now allowed to be given to the human flesh thinking humans. Those flesh-thinking humans started to construct their own understanding of wisdom and justice. Wisdom and justice now began to be part of the blight, and with mankind in their darkness deciding what was right and what was wrong with human justice, truth and holiness were gone. What is truth? It was warped. With that gone, with truth and justice gone, righteousness was made to look something evil. It was made to look dirty and sullied. Jesus had an alternative motive for coming. Man was now bound to dark thoughts as he saw his freedom slowly being dissipated and going away. Now, all of a sudden, Adam was trapped by work, eking out a living, and getting into the rat race of the darkness. Peace would be gone in the Word, and peace would be gone in the Spirit. And with peace gone, you're going to have to go a little bit faster. With peace gone, then truth would be gone. Sound mind would be gone. Logos would be gone. All of this life-giving wonder that the Holy Spirit brought to push back the darkness, that would be forgotten. And with no manifestation or revelation across the top, the divine hope of the world would no longer become necessary or be in fashion, and everything else would turn to darkness. Life would become overwhelming, and even trying to feel some moments of joy would become difficult because the rest of Jesus' impact had been switched off. And who would want to live performing disciplines for a God that hates, judges, and no longer forgives? And so our desire to serve him dissipates. Wonder, forgive me, with grace forgotten and the wonder of his forgiveness and empathy lost, we find ourselves hopeless. Wonder and passion get lost in the churn of life, and very quickly, all that remains is the story of the cross. Genesis chapter 2, the Lord said this would happen if you disobeyed him. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, he says, if you disobey me and you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you take on the responsibility of light and dark together for which you were never designed, you're going to kill yourself. And so life goes out. Life. And then in John chapter 3 and verse 19 to 21, and we don't have a chance to read that. That's our theme scripture for next week. But we have to understand where there is no life, light goes out. But Satan doesn't stop there, because you can still vaguely see those things, right? On the inside of you, there's your yearning. You know they're there, they're just not in the light. You know that they exist on the inside of you. So Jesus says, you know what, I want to call that darkness, I want to call that light out of you. I want to come and shine that light. Don't let your light hide underneath a basket of darkness. No, I need that light to stay on the inside of you so I can resurrect it, I can bring it back from life. And Satan knows that. He doesn't want you even recognizing those things. And so Satan begins to twist, and because he can't create his own table. He's just got to make one up from what God did. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, he has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. And he creates the table of the blind. The table of the blind. And he twists. He starts at the top. And he says, you know what? There's no such thing called divine. There's these other things you can worship. And he twists the divine into false gods. Starting with himself, he says, you know what? This holy father, that's not true. That's actually, I am the father of the lie. And in his place, he takes out the word and he creates this thing called the atmosphere of the world. And the word now just becomes whatever you're feeling, the word on the street, not the word in your heart. And finally, he says, I'm going to play on that dust. I'm going to make sure that the dust becomes treacherous and frail, and he puts you on the seat of your own godliness. How crazy is that concept? Grace and purpose become warped because grace is now very quickly turned into lies. And divine purpose is changed into this process of self-determination. And through these two filters, we get manifestation of lies through lies. And then we get manifestation of life through lies about you can determine what life is. And all of a sudden, lies and self-determination rob you of the manifestation and the wonder of revelation. Identity and relationship are separated from light because Satan turns divine identity into a thought process of no self-worth, and he turns this understanding of relationship into emptiness. And where no self-worth and emptiness converge, it's no longer revelation, but a little word called sin. And then he says, I got to have my power for two. I've got to have that too. And so he introduces his top four. Over here, he introduces fear. And fear, twisted by the filter of lies, in our lives becomes depression. In the world's arena, it becomes oppression. And then he says, I'm not going to stop there. I need four. God's got four. So I'm going to have this thing called pride. Fear and pride combine, and all of a sudden, the world seems to think that it's got a false authority to take on matters that it is not designed to define, like marriage, sexuality, freedom. And then, with this pride and fear driving us, we become opinionated. And we worship our opinions. Added to fear and pride, he brings about deception. He brings about doubt. And it's Satan's core because of these four. That rhymes. We have control and rebellion and destruction and confusion. Where's the everlasting wonder and the mercy and the compassion and the long-suffering of our God? It's gone and it's destroyed. Why? Because we couldn't accept the light of our situation. And our human response? Our human response is easy. Our human response says, I'm going to walk out in blame, in shame, in condemnation, in excuses, and in addiction. Can we bring that up, please? Our humanity's response. Blame, shame, condemnation are the rulers of our lives. Blame makes it feel that we can come up with any form of condemnation for somebody else, and because we feel so ashamed of who we are, we come up with all kinds of excuses. And what does that bring? It brings about addictions and temper that we have no control over. All because we couldn't accept that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was the source of true light. God's character is still present, but wholly corrupted. Thank you, team. God's character is present, but wholly corrupted. And over the next week, we're going to take a look at what does he throw, what does he inject into this worldly atmosphere, and what are we putting out that merge in darkness and death in the middle. Same process. And you're going to be surprised to find what we find in those dark spaces of our lives. Things that we even call light, like church, becomes a dark box called religion. Made from our own opinions and our own abilities to have false authority, we define what worship is and we call it church. But it's not. We're going to understand that there's things in our lives that we think are right and good, but when we have a look at how we got to believing those things, we haven't meshed characters of God together, but we've walked out our own self-authority and self-determination in the darkness. But, church, I want you to hold on that while we're looking at this lens of darkness, behind the lens of darkness, still victorious, still on fire, is God's character for you. God's character is still present, even though it's corrupted. And Pastor Leanne brought about a scripture. It must have been the anniversary anointing. Because in Psalm chapter 30, verse 6 to 12, I want you to hear your hope. We sang about it this morning. But I'm going to go back a few verses. I remember when I boasted about what I was. I remember when I said to myself, I've got it made. Nothing can stop me. I must be favored by God. He's made me a steady mountain. Look at how good I am. But in that moment of self-determination, I felt you hide your face from me, and I felt the darkness creep in. I was panic-stricken, and I became depressed. I still cried out to you, Lord, 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 where are you? I shouted for your mercy that I knew was there, saying, what would you gain in my death if I were to go down into the depths of darkness? Will a grave sing your song? Listen to this. How could death's dust, the dust of my frailty and the dust of my darkness, how could that declare your faithfulness? So hear me, Lord, and show me your famous mercy. Oh God, be my Savior and rescue me. And then he broke through. And he transformed all my wailing into a whirling dance of ecstatic praise. He tore the veil of darkness and lifted me into his glorious light, removing the sad heaviness of mourning. He wrapped me in the glory garments of his revealed joy. How could I be silent when it's time to praise you? Now, my heart sings out, bursting with joy, a bliss inside that keeps me singing. I can never thank you enough. I want to ask you this morning, have you been camping in the darkness? Do you relate to some of those things on the table of the blind faster than you relate to the things on the table of the divine elements? Are you quick to jump to depression and oppression? Are you quick to try and make a plan on your own? Are you quick to sort your issues out yourself? Because if that's working for you, then you should be quick to say with a blissfulness inside, thank you, your own pride. Thank you, my own plan. You have made me blissfully joy. If you can't say your plan has given you blissful joy, you've got the wrong plan. And in life, you know this. You've been fighting it, maybe. You know this. There's two plans, yours and light. And you're not designed to be in constant battle between the two. That's why you're depressed. That's why you're oppressed. That's why your life is heavy. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. No, but I know what's going on the inside. You're using your past to reflect the darkness, not your future to reflect the light. And I want to ask you, no, I want to beg you, I want to implore you, trust me, I know the darkness that you're sitting in. Many of us do. Don't be embarrassed. Don't feel like your life is so worthless that you can't even be called worthy. Because I want to tell you today that you are worthy. If you're not hearing some divine, light-filled voice in your head right now, hear this crazy South African's voice in your head saying, hey, you are worthy. And it's time for you to say, you know what? until I meet the source of light face to face, I'm going to have to battle with this concept of darkness and light in my life. But I want to make a decision today that even if it takes me a little while sometimes, I'm going to try and choose the light with everything I've got. And so right now, if this is your first time that you've ever said, you know what, I've been doing it my way and I need to do it a different way, don't give it a Christian label, don't give it a Christian prayer, just go humbly before the Lord and say, I've been camping in the table of the blind and I don't even know what that looks like. Duh, it's the table of the blind, it's supposed to be black. You don't need to know what's behind those boxes because you know already in your heart what that table looks like. You could probably go home and write things on that table that we'd only find in your story, but it's darkness. I try to bring some sense to that table in my head to give it to you today, and I couldn't even find a strand on how to preach. The only way I could get structure to my message today was to start out by preaching about light. Because there is no structure to the darkness. It's just confusion. Where do you start with all that nonsense? Certainly there's only one place to end. And that is in hope and light for your life. And in this church, we're going to shine that light into every crevice, nook, and cranny of this community. Not to judge them. Not to convict them. But to let them know of the wonder of what it's like to walk with the character of light himself. Because we know that the darkness is coming. But so is our glorious light. And our glorious light will trump that darkness. And I want to say with the light on the inside of us, bring it on, darkness, because we have the power source and we have the light. And so right now, if this is your first time that you've ever said yes to Jesus in your life, yes to just putting everything down with every head bowed and eye closed, that's not a spiritual thing to do. That's a place where you can just know that no one's looking at you. No one's even going to see your hand go up. And even if you can't get your hand up, but your heart goes up, that's good enough. I want to ask you, if this is the first time, if you do feel confident enough just to say, yes, that's me, I need some of that light. I want you to push your hand up and say, yes, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. I want to say to you today, if you've been walking in the light, but this battle has become heavy, and you're walking through some dark stuff right now, and you want to accept some of that light back into your life again, maybe not for the first time, but you want to say, I want to get into a rinse and repeat process with that light. Say, I'm walking through some dark stuff right now, but I need some light. Hey, prayer team, can you come to the front? In this moment, I want to ask you, would you be bold enough to step into the light and say, you know what? Jesus, shine your light on my darkness, on my nonsense, on my confusion, on my addictions, on my oppression, on my depression, on my belief and pride that I can self-determine without you. Father, show me where I've told some lies to people, where I've just hidden a little bit, confused a little bit, destroyed a little bit, hurt a little bit, because I want light in those places. I'm tired of carrying the guilt. I'm tired of carrying the blame, shame, and condemnation of things I've done in my past. If that's you, if anything I've just said resonates with your heart, just put your hand up and say, yes, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. I declare in the name of Jesus, one word, light. Let there be light. And if you're willing to agree to that light, there will be light. If you're willing to present your darkness to that light, the darkness will be pushed back. Just right now, every single one of us, I just want you to say a prayer. Just to yourself, giving God thanks for the light. And then give your darkness a name. I'm depressed. I feel like my freedoms are being encroached upon. I'm sick and tired of paying high prices for gas, and I'm just ticked off. I'm sick and tired of the situation I find myself in, the moral decline of my society, the attack on my family, the aggression that we have to live with, the perpetuation of hatred and violence and racism and abuse and I'm just sick of it. And I'm done with the darkness and I want to step into the light. My finances have been struggling in the darkness and I want to let my light shine in my money. I want to be so filthy rich that I can start churches and bless people and build houses and create new ways of doing things and issue checks for schools so that light can shine in the kids' lives. I want to be so stinking rich that I can just bless people with light and never have to worry about that again. And I want to say, let there be light. And if you agree today, there will be light. Just stand with me. While you're standing, celebrate that light went on in the room today in situations. Hands went up. Celebrate that. That's good. We celebrate the light. Some for the first time and some for a rinse and repeat time. It's time for us to stay in the light. We get so excited when the light first goes on and we understand Jesus. And by week 5, month 3, the darkness has crept in again. And under the bush, under the basket, our light goes. Well, today, not on my watch, not on your watch. I'm not going to treat that circumstance in the same way as how I came in. I'm different. And there's some people that have been praying for you, whether you like it or not, all week. Whether you come forward or not, they're going to pray for you. So you may as well come forward and hear what they've got to say. But if you're here and you want to say, I don't need prayer, I just need some direction. I need to understand, like, how do I go about this light thing? Get connected with them. They're going to pray for you as well, but they're going to give you some ways to connect with us. We want to throw some light into your darkness and help you get that light alive. If it's your marriage, come in and talk to us. If it's a failure, come in and talk to us. If it's a hurt and a pain, come in and talk to us. If you have a complaint about the praise and worship team, speak to Pastor Joey. But come, draw near to the light. If somebody is offering you a light in the darkness, receive it today. Receive it. And if in that moment you feel like you'd need prayer, or you'd like prayer with a pastor rather than these, just text Brahman to 97,000, let us know, and we can meet up with you through the week. But we want you to be a light bearer, an image bearer, and not have to concern yourself with the responsibility of bearing that darkness on your own. And in Adam and Eve tried it, and it didn't work out too well for us. Let's pray. Father, as we admit to our darkness and receive light in our lives today, thank you for being all that you are. We love you and we honor you, and we want your glorious light in our lives. Father, I pray right now, light into dark situations, even in this room. Thoughts of depression and suicide be gone in the name of light and the word of God. Father God, I declare giving up, hopelessness be gone right now, and light is shined in those deepest, darkest moments. Father God, I declare your light into depression. I declare your light of healing into ailments that just don't want to seem to go away. We declare them right now, burnt off in your holy and true light. I declare cancer be gone. I declare depression be gone. I declare worldwide oppression be gone. I declare judgment and hurt and condemnation and religious hurt be gone in the name of your glorious light, in the name of Jesus, we pray that light right now. And I know that as we receive your Holy Spirit over our darkness, hovering over our darkness, when we receive that moment of understanding that he's got us, there will be light. So let there be light in the name of Jesus. And all of God's light bearers said, amen and amen. Hey, give it up for the Lord. As we go from this place, I know that there's darkness out there. It's called the parking lot. Go forth and shine your light. As you see people driving down, flash your lights at them as they're coming into the parking lot. Let them know, even with your vehicle, that you're a light bearer. Yeah? Smile. Get your light out there. Go and buy somebody else a cup of coffee. Go and do something special today with the light that God has given you. Not only are you light, bright, you are light because his burden is not heavy. In Jesus' name we declare this. All of God's people said, amen.